Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined by Hashi Bai.
Hello.
Hello, Hashi. And today, our special guest is Donna Mailari. Donna, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi. I'm a PM on the Azure Mobile Services team, and I work on the offline sync feature, which I'll be talking about today.
Great. And before you get into the offline stuff, for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, can you just give us a really quick explanation of what mobile services is?
Yeah, sure. So mobile services is basically an easy to set up backend for your mobile app. So a lot of times when you have a mobile app, you need to store data somewhere, you need to deal with authentication, you have web services that you need to access, or in the future I'm going to talk about today, you want your data to be available on the device so when the user goes offline because of their network, then they can still use the app and be productive. So mobile services basically gives you all these features and has a number of client SDKs that make it a lot easier to develop a mobile app with these features.
Great. Well, why don't we go ahead and dive into the offline sync stuff?
Sure. So this is a very new feature in mobile services. In fact, it's still in beta. We expect to do a full release in the next few months, though. So you should start using it and give us your feedback. Basically, the idea is end users of your mobile app are going to lose network connectivity from time to time. And you don't want to make it so the app completely stops working. So, you know, you step into an elevator and, you know, if your app crashes, that's a very bad experience. Now, a lot of apps do this because it's hard to build an app that works correctly with offline data because you have to basically let the user modify data and then sync it back up. And that's the feature that we provide. We take out all of that extra work for you as an app developer, and you can just focus on what you want to have synced and what to do when the user goes online or offline.
It's funny because, you know, having built mobile apps in the past and not had something like this, it really is incredibly complicated. Everybody thinks like, oh, it's just so easy. You just store the data locally. And there's so much more to that, like dealing with conflicts, dealing with making sure you send the data up later. Like, it's just a very complex thing.
Exactly. And we know this because we've built this, and we have all these corner cases to deal with. And it's so much easier to have a platform that does this for you. So basically, we want users to be able to use the app fully, not just read data, but to read and modify data even when they don't have network access. And you could use this for multiple scenarios. One could be you want to sync your data across multiple devices, or maybe you just want your app to work a lot faster by caching all the data locally. Now, the scenario that comes up a lot, which you alluded to, is when you're offline, maybe you edit a record and somebody else has edited that at the same time while you were offline, and you go back to sync. And you don't want to clobber their changes with yours, necessarily, depending on what it is. So we offer a feature that will detect this conflict and then let you decide what to do with it. You can handle the conflict either on the client, or the server could see the conflict and apply some kind of business rule to decide what to do.
Great.
So the feature is very lightweight. It's not a complicated sync system like some others that you may have seen. And it's cross-platform. It works on Windows Universal apps, Windows Phone Silverlight, iOS Native, Android, and Xamarin.
What is the underlying data store? Is it common across all of those platforms?
Yes. So the store is a SQLite-based store by default. But the way we've designed this framework, you can plug in your own local store.
So if I'm building something like an iOS app, for example, and I love Core Data for some reason, I could use Core Data instead.
In fact, our store does use Core Data.
Okay.
But let's say you wanted an encrypted store.
Right.
So you could build, you basically implement a few interfaces, and then all of the other sync logic that we've built, you can still use.
Great. Awesome.
And the way it's set up, we want to support two kinds of scenarios. One is the kind of app that's occasionally connected. So think of somebody who's out in a field taking measurements or something like that, and they usually don't have network access. So there's a lot of data that you need to sync back and forth. Or the more common scenario that we use in our apps is that we usually have network access, but maybe we're, you know, on a train or something and we lose the network connectivity. So we want to be able to sync back periodically.
And I think one of the things that people, like, you hear the explanation of what the occasionally connected is, it's like, well, if I'm in the field, you know, I've got my phone, I've obviously got network connectivity, but, you know, what if you're building an application for a company device that, you know, is not going to get a cell signal or does not even have cell access everywhere? Well, that's the occasionally connected story, right?
Exactly,
there.
Exactly, exactly. Or if you just have an app that's usually used in a remote area.
Yep.
And this feature works on both the Node and the .NET backends. It's very easy to set up, and you write the same exact client code regardless of which backend you're using, either Node or .NET. In fact, I'm not going to even show you the backend code because you don't have to do anything special to get offline working.
Great.
So the way it works is that we want you to be able to get data, your data in your mobile services tables, even when your app is offline. So what we're going to do is we read all the data based on some query that you specify. And then if you do any operations that modify the data, such as create, update, or delete, then we're going to log all of this. And then we're going to replay it back when you sync. And this is the case where you could have the same item changed locally and on the server. So maybe you think you're changing some record with some particular value, but in the meantime, someone else has changed it. And so we recognize this situation, and we give throwback an exception to the client, and it can handle it. And I'll show you a demo of this in action. Another complicated thing about sync is that sometimes there's records that get deleted remotely, and you have to make sure that you remove them from the client's local database. And this is something that doesn't happen if you don't have offline, because you always just query all the data in full each time. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, maybe there's 10 records that actually are no longer there. So we have a feature called soft delete, which marks an item as deleted rather than removing it directly. And we use that feature to detect which items that should be purged from the local client's database.
Now, is soft delete something that's just been turned on with mobile services, or is it a feature that kind of only went live if you created a mobile service after a specific point in time?
So, yes and no. It's by default, from now on, when you create a new table in the Node backend, there's a button that's checked by default that says enable soft delete. But you can go back into your old tables and click that table and say enable soft delete.
Great.
And for the .NET backend, what you do is when you initialize your table, your domain manager, you pass a parameter saying that you want soft delete to work.
Okay, so even if you have a an older mobile service, you can activate that.
Exactly. In fact, that's what I'm going to do with the demo I'm showing now.
Perfect.
So without further ado, let's go and look at a Windows Universal app that uses offline.
Okay.
So to start out with, I'm going to show you the online version of the app. This is basically the quick start that you see when you go and download create a mobile service and go to the quick start tab. Mm-hmm. I've made a few changes. One is that I renamed the button to sync in anticipation of the changes we're going to be making. And I also set it up so that you can edit your items here so that I can show your the conflict handling later on. So let me rename this one to edited while online. And I'll hit enter, and this will get saved. So let's go look at our data. And here we go, edited while online. So now let's make this app work offline. I'll quit the app, go back to Visual Studio. And the first thing you want to do is make sure that you've installed an extension for SQLite. And I already have it installed for Windows Phone and Windows Runtime. But if you don't already have it installed, you can either go to the extension gallery and install it or go to the SQLite website. So that's the first step.
Just to kind of reiterate, though, if you were to basically take this computer offline and run that same app, you wouldn't see any data because it's not storing anything locally, right? It's just going to the server every single time
exactly.
You run the app.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to want to add the SQLite store NuGet and the updated version of the mobile services SDK to our project.
Okay.
So you can do this either with the NuGet window where you can search or with the package manager console. So let me do that, installing mobileservices.sqlite store. And it's going to pull in, you can see here, SQLite PCL and also the mobile services SDK beta 2.
Okay. So this is all the new release stuff that's available, right?
Exactly. All right, so now we have these NuGets added to our project. And all of the code I'm going to be editing is going to be in the shared project because we don't actually need to change anything in the UI.
And that's one of the things you get with the universal project where we can just have all this logic inside of our one shared app.
Exactly. It makes it much easier to build your app, and the code's also a lot cleaner.
Awesome.
So the first thing we're going to do is add a version property to our data object, which is called to-do item. And this is what you get in the quick start. Now we'll add the version, which by default you won't get. And what this is going to do is track the version locally of the item that we're editing. Mm-hmm. So, and it basically increments each time the item is edited. And that's how we'll know if we are editing an item that's where there's a newer version online on the server.
Now, the version here is a string, but what does it end up being? Is it just a string like 1, 2, 3 version-wise, or?
So with the SQL, if you use SQL as your backend, it's just going to be a row version in
okay.
SQL.
Great.
So it's going to be a hex set of characters. So now let's go to our main page. And what we're going to do is change where we have iMobile service table, we're going to change this to sync table. And then we're going to say, instead of get table, we'll say get sync table. And basically, what this is going to do is it's going to use this local table now in our code, everywhere in our code where we were using to-do table. Mm-hmm. And in order to make that clear, I'm going to rename this using the rename refactoring. I'll call this to-do local table. And so basically, where we have code that's reading from the table is now, the code is now different. It's going to read off of the local table.
So everything in your code base right now is just going to go directly to your local table. There's
exactly.
nothing that'll actually talk to the server at this
exactly.
point.
Exactly. And then the next step is we need to initialize our local database. So let me add some code for this. Basically, we initialize the sync context if it hasn't already been initialized. We set up our local store, which is going to use the SQLite store. And then we associate that with the mobile service. And so here, this is where you could add in your own store if you wanted to, mm-hmm. as long as you implement the right interface. And so let's add this using. And I'll get back to the sync handler in a minute.
Okay.
Now let's write some code for the sync button. Basically, here we're just refreshing the to-do items. But in this, the new code, what we're going to want to do is call a new function called sync, which actually synchronizes the local store with the remote database. And I have some code that does this here. Basically, what we're going to do is call a method on the sync context, which pushes all of our changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to pull the new items into the to-do local table. Now, you may have noticed that this method here is on the sync context, whereas this one is on the to-do table. And the reason for that is that you're going to want to push all of your changes across all tables. It's probably incorrect to push changes from one table and not others, because you could have dependencies or some logic that depends on them.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to pull from the local table. This first parameter is optional. And what it does is it sets up a query for incremental sync. So I'll name it to-do items, and it'll store this locally. It'll keep track of the latest value, the latest updated stamp of the value it got. So then the next time it does a query, it only pulls things that are later than that date.
Okay.
And here, I'm just creating a query that matches the table itself. But if we wanted to, we could filter out anything. Let's say we had categories in our to-do list. We could filter and pull down only some of the categories. And that's how you could end up basically only pulling down some of the data from your remote database.
Makes sense.
So here, when you do push, you are pushing everything
that's
back
right.
to the server. But when you pull, you can pick specific table to pull from.
Exactly.
But would that cause more conflicts if you only pull down portion of your data from your server? Let's say you have multiple tables, but you only pull down from one of the tables. But if you update other tables that were not pulled down from the server, there would be more conflicts.
Yes, server. You're right. Let's say I had another table that was a categories table, and I didn't do a pull, and I didn't synchronize it when I did this.
Mm-hmm.
It's more likely that I'll have some changes that, when I go and push the changes, will be dirty, and then I'll have to do conflict handling. So that's a really good point. Basically, it's a good idea to push and pull all of your data at the same time. So that's the changes that we're going to make to this file here. And then I'm going to drop in the code for the sync handler into the shared project. And I won't show the code just yet, but I need to add it so that that reference resolves. And now we have, let's set the startup project to be the Windows Store project, and let's run it. And now look at this, there's no data. And this is by design, because the way we've set up this sample, it's reading data, and it does sync only when you push this button. And there's nothing in the local database, so that's mm-hmm. why there's no data.
Right.
So once I click sync, and I'll get my items here. So let's rename this one to I Love Cloud Cover.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. And also, to just be really, to really show the power of this, I'm going to exit the app. Let's go back to our data that's in the server. And we can see that the new item I added is not here.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it is not lost because it's in the local store.
So we still see ILF cloud cover?
Exactly. And now when we started up the app, now we have some data because that's our local database.
Yep.
We click the sync button, go back to the server, and we can see ILF cloud cover.
Great. So it only actually synced when you wanted it to.
Exactly.
Now, I know that with mobile services, you get scripts or, you know, backend functionality when you send data up or when you do basically a CRUD against a table. So when you edited the item and when you actually did the sync, was that script ran?
Yes, it is. So basically, it's going to count as an update. From the point of view of the server, it doesn't know that it was an offline operation or online. So you can write the same logic in either case. Basically, at that point, it would try to do the update. And if there was a precondition failed, basically a conflict, the server could handle it there in your update script, or it could send it back, which is what it does here by default.
Okay, great.
So now let's show the conflict handling in action. Let's set the startup project to be the Windows Phone project, and let's run this. And since the code was all in our shared project, all right, so now the app is running, and same thing. See how there's no data because the local database is empty. So now we'll click sync, and we have our data here. So let's see, I edited an item and set it to complete. And let's rename this to Xamarin is really awesome. And let's click sync. Now let's go back to our Windows Store app. And I haven't synced. So we have the old data here. Let's rename this to Hi Xamarin and click sync. Sure. So
go ahead.
What happens is it's going to say, hey, you're editing an old version of this. And the server value is Xamarin is really awesome. The local item was Hi Xamarin. Which one do you want to use? So let's use the server version. And notice how the other sync change came through, where it cleared the item that was already completed. And that's how you do conflict handling.
Great. And that UI, is that something that's part of the sync handler? Or is it basically presenting you with, hey, here's an issue. Do you want to show something to the user? Like, the UI is basically something you build as the app builder.
Exactly, exactly. And I'll show that in a minute. Basically, when I get a precondition failed exception, what I did in my code was to bring up that UI.
Great, OK.
So let's look at what it means to do conflict handling. First off, let me explain how the server knew that there was a problem, that you had edited an old version of the item. The way this works is with a feature called optimistic concurrency, which sounds a lot more complicated than it is. Basically, what it does is optimistic concurrency means you can edit the item, and when you go to write back is when you might get an error.
Okay.
So let's say that we have a device that creates a new value of triangle with a version of 1, and it sends it to the server. And device 2 gets this data. So now everybody is in sync. Device 2 updates the value to a square, which is what we saw in the example. And device 1 doesn't do the update. And in the meantime, it thinks that it can make a version 2 itself, and it sets the value to be a circle. And this is where the problem comes in. When it goes to update with the server value, the server is going to say, no, you can't possibly be version 2 because I'm already on version 2.
Right.
And it's going to send back a precondition failed exception to the client. And this is where, if you wanted to, you could just catch that exception in the server and decide what to do. And so, for instance, maybe you just want everybody to be able to overwrite changes, or maybe you have some merge logic for merging multiple fields together. But in this case, what we're going to do is just send this precondition failed exception back down to the client, and the sync handler can decide what to do.
Okay.
So let me show you the code for that. So the sync handler basically implements this interface, and it has two methods that you need to implement. One is on push complete async, which is how you would handle your conflicts at the end of a push operation if you wanted to do them all at once. So what I'm going to show is a little bit more fine grain, just to show you the full power of what you can do. And that's execute table operation. And what this does is, while it's replaying this change log of changes you made, it calls this method first. And you can basically intercept that call, catch the exception, and decide what to do. You could also have some operation, maybe, that runs every time you send a change. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to log it yourself, or maybe you want to show the user that you're sending some operation. So we have a loop because in handling a conflict, you could cause more conflicts further down the road. So that's why there's a loop. We're going to keep track of the error because we want to do some async calls in the handler. And so we run the operation. If there's no problem, we just return the result. If we get a precondition failed exception, and that's the scenario where we have basically the optimistic concurrency failure, we're going to decide what to do. And here we're going to pull down the local item that we have in our current operation. This exception or this response code is actually going to give us the server value as well, so we don't have to make another call to get it. And then we're going to show a conflict dialog, which is just some code that I wrote myself. And here we have the three cases. Basically, if you want the local version, what you're going to do is update the version of the item and basically say, no, I have the latest version. And that's how, and then you'll try to try this again with the continue, and that's how you can overwrite that that object. Otherwise, this is the path that we showed in the demo. If you want the server value, you just pull down the server value and return from this function that value, and then the local store will be updated so that you have the right thing. And if you want, you can also abort the push. And so basically, that's how it works. That's how you can do conflict handling.
So when you abort, it aborts everything?
Yes, it aborts all the future operations as well. Maybe you had some problem where you're like, oh no, wait a minute, I don't want to sync this data. Or maybe you have such a conflict that's going to be really annoying to handle through that UI, and so you want to go back and edit the data yourself.
Okay.
And so that's what you can do with this.
Okay. So it's really great to see and very powerful, obviously. What about our other clients? So, you know, the iOS, the Xamarin, the Androids.
Yes, so as I said, this works cross-platform. So what I'll do is I'll show you this working in Xamarin as well.
And we're back.
So let me show you how this works in Xamarin. What I've done here is written a Xamarin Forms app that does very similar logic to what we saw before. With Xamarin Forms, I don't know if you've used it before, but basically you can write all the code for your iOS and Android apps with one common library. Here I'm using shared code in a similar way to how the universal apps worked. And the only time that you need to drop down into the platform-specific libraries is when you need to do something that is different between the two platforms. In fact, all of my logic in this demo here is all written in the shared library.
Okay, great.
So in order to get things working in Xamarin iOS, the first thing you need to do is initialize. You need to run an init command so that it knows not to strip out those references, because the iOS version of the Xamarin compiler basically figures out what you're not using and doesn't compile it into your final program.
Right.
So for Xamarin Android, we don't need to do anything. So now let's go to our app. So here I'm making a new mobile service client, connecting to the same exact mobile service. And I'm using a logging handler, which is going to output to the console when we get back data. So now we can see the incremental sync in action. And our refresh code is basically this exact same as what we saw in the Windows Store app. And setting up the local database is also the same. Except here we didn't put in a sync handler.
And again, behind the scenes, it's, or underneath the covers, it's using SQLite.
Exactly.
But in this case, on iOS.
Exactly. And for Xamarin, you don't need to do that extra step of adding SQLite, since both of the Xamarin platforms, both iOS and Android, already have SQLite natively.
Great.
So here we're going to get a sync table object again. And when the user clicks the sync button, we're going to do basically the same exact thing we already saw. We're going to push our changes and pull the new values. So let's run this in the iPhone.
Now, are these are the packages that are, you can install into this, are they all pre-release now, or is it what would be in the public normal release for the NuGet packages?
So they're beta 2.
Beta 2? Okay.
And
so
very
very
soon they will be the release versions.
So for the time being, does that mean people have to go in and say, I want the pre-release
versions? Exactly.
Great.
Good question. All right, so here, again, in our Xamarin Forms app, we see there's no data. That's because there's nothing in the local database. So let's click the sync button. We'll pull down our changes, and here we go. We have everything. Let's add a new item. cloud cover is great.
It's very true.
And I won't bother you, I won't bore you with the details of showing you that it's not in the remote database.
I believe you.
And let's sync the let's sync this data. And now let's run it in Android. So I have my Android emulator running, and it'll launch the app. And now you can see the app looks a little bit different because now it's using the Android UI. Right.
And that's part of the Xamarin Forms stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And now I click the sync button, and I will get new data. And here we go.
And we can see it's got all the items you've added so far.
Exactly. And we can confirm that it's all in the remote database too.
Great. So this looks really awesome, you know, great, really powerful. And I assume we've got the same sort of stuff for the native versions of iOS and Android as well?
That's right, that's right. I'll show you the native version of iOS in just a minute. But first I want to talk about the deleted, the soft delete. Basically, you're enabled, soft delete is enabled for you in the node runtime if you have this column. And we can see here none of these are soft deleted. Now, this UI that we've built so far doesn't actually let you delete things. So I'm going to go and make REST calls directly to do a delete.
Okay.
So let's get all of our values here. All right, so let's delete this value, edited while online. Let's copy this key and make a REST call.
And you can do this because everything in mobile services is exposed over REST, so you don't need the client SDK if you just want to make a pure REST call.
Exactly, exactly. And it's really useful for debugging. So we can see no content, which means that it worked. If we go back to here, we'll see that edited while online is still here, but it has a deleted value of true.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go and make some REST calls to do a get, the cool thing about soft delete is that everything just keeps working with the same exact behavior as before.
Okay.
So if I do a get, it looks like it's gone because the get call by default doesn't return soft deleted items.
Okay.
If I want the soft deleted items, I have to pass some query parameters, include deleted, and the SDKs also have helper methods to do this for you.
Great.
And so now we can see this that edited while online is actually really in the database.
Perfect.
So
when will these records be permanently removed from the database?
That's a really good question, because you wouldn't want to leave these records around forever, because they do still take up space. So in our documentation for soft delete, we have a sample scheduler script that you could run, say, every week or so and delete old records. And if you delete records, hard delete them very frequently, what you'll have to do is set up your client so that they clear out their databases completely and start over. Because a hard deleted record, basically the client won't know to remove it from its local database. And so now when we do the sync, we see that that deleted item is gone.
Great, very cool.
So you asked about native iOS. So
yes.
Let's see it working. I have here a native iOS version of the to-do list sample. And what this one does is on startup, it syncs it syncs the local database. Now, I won't show the conflict handling here, but you can still do that with the iOS SDK.
Great. And is the iOS SDK you get from the portal right now the version that contains all this offline code?
No. You have to actually go to the offline samples page and download the pre-release iOS SDK.
Okay. So similar to how the other ones are pre-release NuGet, so this is a pre-release SDK version.
Exactly.
And I assume the same thing's going to be true for Android.
Yes. The same thing is true.
Okay. Great.
So let's look at the code. It's very similar in terms of the paradigms as the Xamarin and the managed SDK. It's a different syntax, though, because it's iOS.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, here we initialize our client. And here we initialize our sync context. And we set up our sync table object. And when we want to do a refresh, that's the kind of the pull down operation in iOS. What we're going to do is create a query, and we're going to pull all the data, all the items that match this query and kind of update, refresh the UI as a result.
So even though this is Objective-C, it's all kind of similar sort of terms and what you're going to be doing.
Exactly. And the conflict handler is also similar. Now, a conflict handler is always complicated, so this might look a little bit complicated, but we're actually doing something very similar. So for instance here, if we want to resolve conflicts in favor of the client, we do the exact same thing. We set the system property for version to be the same value as on the server.
Mm-hmm.
And to simulate actually being offline, let's go and modify this to be some nonsense mobile service rather than actually taking everything offline. Let me show connecting to something that doesn't exist.
Okay.
So now let's run this. And we see the data is still here.
Great.
I won't show this, but if we were to go back online, we would be able to sync our changes.
Great. So basically, when you can't reach the endpoint, it says, I'm offline. I'm just going to give the data I've got locally. And then once you go back online, it's going to say, oh, I've got connectivity.
Exactly.
Great. Very cool stuff. Well, this is really powerful, and I think a lot of people are going to find a lot of use out of these offline scenarios.
Yes, that's what we think. And we urge you to try it out and tell us what you think. We're really interested in feedback because right now it's in beta, and then eventually we're going to release the full version.
Where should people go to both get more information and provide you guys feedback?
So I'll put a link at the bottom of this video. Basically, we have a bunch of tutorials for all of the platforms that I showed that will show you how to get the pre-release SDK and either the pre-release NuGet or the pre-release SDK, and also some sample apps to get you started.
Great. And then what about that feedback source? Where do they need to go to do that?
So you can either go to the forums, you can contact me on Twitter, or at the bottom of the documentation pages, we actually have a little discuss area. You can just type right in there.
Great. And what's your Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you?
It's Lindy Donna.
All right, so we'll just do one of those right there and we'll show that.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, and it's great to see this stuff in action.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Everybody out there, thanks for watching Cloud Cover. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
See you.
See you.